Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, morning.
Hey, Jay.
Good morning.
Hey, Key.
Jay.
Key.
I want to ask you something. Something was on my mind. I was thinking as I was sitting here doing the break.
Are you wearing shorts right now?
Yeah, I got on board shorts.
I'm so jealous.
See,
this is how he goes in the work.
It's raining today in New York, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But wait. Oh, I thought it was raining when I saw. Yeah. Do they even know you at Duke, man?
What?
I just wanted to ask that. Because for some reason, I feel like you really didn't play for Duke. But that's, you know, I don't know. Just a thought.
If people could only hear the amount of times that we're during the break and you go, Jay, yes, and I don't answer, then Max is like, hey, Jay, he's calling you. I'm like, I know he's calling me. I just refuse to answer because he's going to hit me with some kind of jab.
So it's when you hear the, hey, Jay. That little voice that you know
floors?
It's coming.
You have hardwood floors?
Yeah.
That guy's jersey hangs on the rafters, Key.
Hey, Jay.
Jason Tatum had to call him and ask, could he wear 22? Like, of course they know who
no,
he
I didn't. He said, no. I just asked a question. It came to my mind because I haven't seen him wear any Duke apparel or anything.
What are you talking about? I've been wearing Duke apparel for the last 2 years. I've been doing the damn show.
Didn't you see the gif of him at Coach K's last game in Duke calling a timeout? It was everywhere.
I was trying to get him to
No,
call
I saw him standing. I did see him standing in the stands with the, yeah.
Sounds like a hit on me.
The Tiger Woods fist.
Yeah, I saw you.
He turned you into Tiger Woods.
Jay, sounds like a hater to me.
It's all right.
First of all, I don't know why Key is bringing up basketball, even though we're heading for the playoffs, even though baseball's actually going to have a season and we're gearing up for opening day.
Well, he's bringing up because Duke is playing tonight in the Sweet 16.
Even though the Sweet 16 is tonight and Duke is in it, because all we're talking about nowadays is NFL offseason news. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. We're asking all day, does NFL offseason news still excite you? You can also hit us up on the Twitter feed, at Key J and Max. By the way, we had a caller about an hour ago. He got me to thinking it's true. I talk about this in L.A., Key. What makes L.A. a city, right? Public transportation's not great. It's almost like a series of sort of loosely connected suburbs in a way. What makes it a city? It's financially segregated for sure, right? What makes it a city? The Lakers, more than anything. That's where everybody converges in L.A., all with the same purpose, the Lakers. What makes us a country right now? So polarized. Red states, blue states. Here's one shared experience that Americans have that everyone loves is the NFL. It's like the last shared American experience, practically. So is that right? We should be leading with NFL offseason news, even in the middle of everything else going on? Now, let me show you a real NFL degenerate, okay? He, you know this type well. You played for the team, the New York Jets. Look, Tyreek Hill, dynamic receiver, traded away from Patrick Mahomes. AFC West reverberations. Miami, what's going to happen there? But our producer, Evan, not thinking about the AFC West, not thinking about the Chiefs, not thinking about the Dolphins, not thinking about the NBA, Major League Baseball, you know, gearing up, nothing of that. What are you thinking about her? Evan has this wild, like, it's. I can't even explain it. Go ahead, Evan, give us your theory.
The Jets missed out on Tyreek Hill one year ago. The San Francisco 49ers gave a haul to the Miami Dolphins to get the third pick in the draft and draft Trey Lance. But the 49ers, they actually wanted Zach Wilson, another BYU quarterback. Steve Young even said this on ESPN. He said that he knows the 49ers wanted Zach Wilson. So the 49ers could have traded up with the Jets to the 2 pick instead of the 3 pick for basically the same package. Jets go back into the teens. They draft around the line, right? Like they still could take Elijah Vera Tucker and still improve the team and then run it back for one more year with Sam Darnold. Then they would have gone into this offseason with even more draft capital than they already had. They would have had they would have had 3 ones this year because they still had the Jamal Adams one. So they would have had 3 ones this year. 2 next year, and 2 the year after. You know what all that draft capital could have gotten them? Deshaun Watson. They could be in a situation where the Jets could have had Deshaun Watson. And then if you're in the mix for Tyreek Hill and he's picking between the Jets and the Dolphins, you want to play with Tua or you want to play with Deshaun Watson in New York? He's going to choose Deshaun Watson in New York. The Jets last year when they drafted Zach Wilson instead of making the trade missed out on a chance at not only Tyreek Hill, but they missed out on a chance at Deshaun Watson too.
Would they have had anything left, though, to go get Tyreek Hill? Or are you saying that they still could have gave that 30?
They would have had both. They would have had enough trade capital for both. They had enough trade capital alone here to go get Tyreek Hill. They could have used some of those other first-round picks that they would have gotten from the 49ers that, again, they still had from the Jamal Adams deal and been in a position to also go get Watson.
But that's
they still would have figured out a way to stink.
Yep. And that's a different team, though, than the team with Zach Wilson because of the veteran quarterback nature of Deshaun.
Right.
So Tyreek naturally probably would have wanted to be with a team that had a legitimate shot. Zach Wilson in the Jets, I understand the retooled offensive line and Tucker and all of those guys and Beckham, and I get it. I understand all that. But they're not a ready team yet, so Tyreek would have had to have come only for Deshaun.
Do you think, Key, like New York can be a magnet for some and it can repel others, right? It's not for everyone.
No.
Do you think Deshaun Watson would have ever chosen the Jets? And by the way, let me press it. I know there are 22 open civil cases against him alleging serious stuff.
Yeah, I was going to get into that. I was going to say, given the nature of what he has gone through and going through, I don't know that he would have chosen New York because New York, you know, much like L.A., they're not going to let you forget at all. And I don't know that he would have wanted to take that on. You know, you could kind of deal with it differently, I think, in Cleveland than you can in New York, right? I mean, it's just you mentioned it, the 22 cases that's still out there pending in the civil suit. It looks a lot different in New York than it does in other places just from a media standpoint.
But, Keith, should it? I guess that's the question I ask myself. Should it?
Well, it's just it shouldn't. But New York media,
there's more media.
There's more people. It's big. It's powerful opposed to some of the smaller places. That's all. Some of the smaller states where NFL teams are. It's still gonna be covered, but not like New York. You know, New York they'll cover a rat chasing a cat down the street. I mean, they just. You know,
the rats are big enough here to chase a cat.
Yeah, you know, that went viral, the rat taking the pizza up the stairs. You ever see that one? Or down the stairs?
I've seen that one, too. Yeah. And I've seen the rat get into a fight with a cat.
Yeah, that cat didn't want no parts of the rat.
I hear what you're saying. It's interesting, though, because during that time, talking to his team, like, it was something that they were eyeing down because of the opportunities for Deshaun. It's just all those ancillary things that happened, not ancillary, that's the wrong choice of words. The issues that occurred, I think, probably deterred that in a major way.
Let's say
because originally, originally, he asked for the trade. New York was a part of it. And then everything started to come apart when the sexual allegations hit. It was like, whoa, that ain't, you know, because originally that wasn't out there. Mm-hmm. It was all about the team. And I think when you look at it, though, Max, the Tyreek Hill situation is best for the Jets right now that they did not make that move, giving up 35, 38, and 69 in this year's draft to go get him because they're not a ready team.
But let's say they did have Deshaun. Let's just say, and, you know, again, 22 separate women alleging serious stuff. No criminal charges, but the civil cases remain open. But let's say anyway, the Jets decide, yes, we're going to trade for him, and they do what Evan said, and they still have draft capital to get Tyreek Hill. Would Tyreek Hill have chosen the Jets had they had Deshaun Watson over the Miami Dolphins?
I think he would have.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of the better quarterback.
Yeah, better quarterback, and it would have been a better team. The team is a ready-now, compete AFC. He's better than Josh Allen, or at least on par. Josh Allen is on par with him. He's better than Tua. You know, he's better than Mac Jones. So, naturally, the team is going to be better.
That's interesting to me because there are some guys where you're like, I don't know, look, the Drew Rosenhaus connection in Miami. The people just like no taxes and warm weather, right? They like the sun.
Yeah, but if I'm the cheetah, in Midtown, I'm getting a billboard. I'm getting all sorts of money on Park Avenue, on
Madison Avenue.
Madison Avenue. I'm making money. I got Cheeto commercials and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. If you believe in yourself and you have the kind of personality that can handle the New York media, it's a megaphone for your brand, no question. Mm-hmm. You know, like L.A., because our country, our number one exports actually are popular culture. We export that through L.A. and through New York. And so if you think you're going to be a crazy brand, you can come get that money. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get to a different New York team who no longer have to worry or wonder what if.
The madness continues. Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network.
It's over. Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils headed to San Francisco and the Sweet 16. They knock off Michigan State 85-76.
This is ESPN Radio.
All right, we're going to get to Duke and the Sweet 16 in a second. But Seth Greenberg is
notorious
with us right
B-E-R-G.
Now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, gentlemen. What's happening? We got a little NBA. We got a little Sweet 16. The Dukies are playing. We got Villanova and Attitude playing. A lot of good stuff going on today.
A lot of good stuff.
Oh, by the way, is anything going on in football?
Hey, Coach, let's start with this before we get into the Sweet 16. How significant is it that New York is looking to lift the vaccine mandate at least for performers, which would mean athletes from major teams get to play in the city even if they are not vaccinated, which means Kyrie returns to play in Barclays?
Well, it's significant. Look, Durant and Kyrie, saying they're dynamic offensively is actually almost an insult to what they're able to do. But, Jay Will, I hate to tell you, and I know you love your Brooklyn Nets, but they're 21st in defensive efficiency. They need to get Kyrie in the practice gym because, you know what, they need to be able to stop someone. And Durant, how about that mental shot he took at Memphis saying, well, you know, they were more freed up without John Morant. Please, come on now. Seriously? Look, the Nets right now could win a championship. But 21st in defensive efficiency, name me the last team that was 21st in defensive efficiency that won an NBA championship.
So which one is it? Can they win a championship? Because you just said they could win a championship.
But no.
Now you're using their defensive
No, they're not going to win a championship.
You just said they could win a championship.
Eventually, you got to get a stop.
I'm just repeating
eventually,
what
you got to stop someone, Jay Will.
Coach, what if that ticks up? Coach, what if that ticks up to 16, 15, something like that? It's not that much to jump a couple teams.
Well, here's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Now that he is going to be a full-time player, maybe they, just like you have chemistry offensively, you need chemistry defensively. You need to trust defensively. You know, need to know where that, who's taking that next pass if you're doubling. You need to know if you're switching or not switching. They haven't had enough time on the floor to develop any defensive chemistry. I would think if this is lifted, and when it's lifted, that the most important thing for Steve Nash to do is to develop a defensive identity, because 21st in defensive efficiency is not winning you an NBA championship, no matter how spectacular those guys are offensively.
Let's be honest here. You just don't like Kyrie. You don't want to see Kyrie win. You always say the bottom's always going to fall out.
I've had enough of you.
The bottom's always going to fall out. There's always
that is such
something
a simple
that's going to happen.
Enough.
Now
I'm done with you.
Defense.
I'm done with you.
We ready to move on and get to the Sweet 16?
This is what we do. This is our everyday lives, by the way.
Coach,
what do we got tonight?
Which game you most intrigued by?
Yeah, what do we got tonight, Seth? Who do you like tonight?
Well, here you have to be intrigued by Duke and Texas Tech. I mean, you just have to, because every time Coach K plays, even though he says, you know, they haven't put pressure on him, just by Coach deciding that this is going to be his last year, there's pressure on him. Now, I'm intrigued because it's two different styles. It's 19-year-olds versus 21-year-olds. It's a team that's totally built on the defensive end, playing against a team when they're playing downhill and not settling is an elite offensive team. I just think the storylines for this game are really interesting. I love the way Duke played the last 5 minutes of that Michigan State game. Can they do that for 40 minutes? That'll be the question. I think every game tonight, there isn't a game tonight that to me doesn't intrigue me. I mean, I'm plain and simple. Michigan, the way they're playing, you know, Villanova struggled with bigs. Adama Sinogo, when Connecticut beat them, he had 20. They dominated him on the glass. They win that game. Obviously, Hunter Dickerson is, you know, a mountain masquerading as a man. I think every single game has it intrigue, but nothing more intriguing than, you know, what, you know, it could be Coach K's last game against a team of junkyard dogs. that team at Texas Tech, they don't care. They're just going to lace them up and ball.
Coach, which top seed is most vulnerable other than your Gonzagas?
No, no, that's your Gonzaga team that you think is most vulnerable. Not my Gonzaga team. You think it's your Gonzaga team that is most vulnerable. I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to say it's going to be Arizona, and I have Arizona winning it all. And I'll tell you why. It's just how well Houston's playing. I mean, Houston defensively is an absolute clinic. Houston in terms of Taze Moore and Kyler Edwards and Shed, their backcourt has been dominating. They're going to control the tempo of the game if they're going to win. They're going to rebound and get extra possessions. They're going to be physical up front with the front court of Arizona. If this game is in the 60s, high 60s, Houston's winning this game. You watch what TCU did to Arizona. Very similar game plan, very physical defense. It's going to be a possession game. If Houston has it their way, it's going to be a possession game. So, therefore, you're eliminating all those transition buckets, about 21 points a game. You're going to take Arizona off the glass. You're going to disrupt their rhythm. I think that they're the most vulnerable at a number one because of style of play in the NCAA tournament.
Seth, who's the best team left outside of St. Peter's who you think could be the most surprising team to reach the Final Four? Like, could Miami
reach the Final Four?
Yeah, I know. But, like, could Miami reach the Final Four?
Miami could reach the Final Four. I mean, look, the best team left is Gonzaga. I mean, it really is. And Gonzaga, not because of Chet Holmgren, and people say, well, Chet Holmgren, he changes their defense, he boxed out.
That's the best team left.
It's Andrew Nembhard and Drew Timmy. They're the two best players. Andrew Nembhard's played 196 out of 200 potential minutes in their last five games. Andrew Nembhard's got to stay on the court. The manner in which they play, the flow in which they play, they've improved defensively. They've got a little bit better depth. They have some toughness. Now, Julius Slaughter's got to play better. He's only averaging 4.5 points a game. But in terms of the best team that's remaining, they're the best team. Are they vulnerable? Sure they're vulnerable. Everyone is vulnerable. Look at what happened this season. Who's the player of the year? Changed every week. Who's the best team in the country? Changed every week. There were weeks that we thought, you know, Auburn was invincible. There were weeks we thought Kentucky was invincible. There were weeks where we thought that Duke was invincible. Well, you know what? Everyone has scars. There's no Baylor out there right now.
There's only one man.
Biggest
who never
sleeper
Duke
of the group.
Invincible.
The biggest sleeper of the group is UCLA, though.
There's only one guy who never, ever, for a second, thought Duke was invincible ever.
You know who that is?
Jay Will.
You know what time it is.
Jay Will, too, guarding those emotions, not letting himself go there.
He doesn't get lost in the brother. Jay Will is the most measured guy when it comes to Duke. He takes it at face value, and that's a compliment. I mean, he's been part of it. He sees their strengths. He sees their weaknesses. I mean, look, if they execute the way they did the last 5 minutes, if they execute the way they did the last play of the first half when they got that slip from Mark Williams, you know, that was huge progress for me because time and score, special situations has not been a Duke staple the last few years. If they can do that and close out games and Banchero can play into people's chests and through the rim, you know, look, they have more pros than anyone else left in the tournament. There's no doubt about it. I mean, who's not a pro? I mean, Moore's a pro. Obviously, Williams is a pro. Banchero is a pro. You go right down their roster. A.J. Griffin's a first-round draft choice. They have more pros than anyone. Wouldn't you agree, Jay Will?
Yes, 1,000%. A.J. Griffin might go top 10, which is crazy to say.
So, Coach, hey, Jeremy Roach is playing like a guy that, you know, hey, if Ish Smith can stay in the league this long, why can't Jeremy Roach play the league?
Yeah. Coach, so you don't think St. Peter's has a shot, huh? No legit shot.
Look, if the game was played at West 4th Street or at the Rocker or 135th and Riverside or Gaucho Gym, I think they'd have a shot because they don't care. They don't care. I mean, they're going to pressure. They're going to try to push Purdue out. They're going to try to disrupt passing lanes. They're going to try to muck the game up as much as possible. They're going to try to spread that defense out. All those things. I think shot making, Ivy, and then Noah's Ark, the two bigs, I think just too much. The difference is the number of shot makers on the floor. I don't think they can dominate the backcourt like they dominated the backcourt at Kentucky. Kentucky's backcourt got absolutely whooped. Let's just call it the way it is. Now, look, if they played seven times, Kentucky would win six of them. You know, wow. Kentucky was 1-for-6 in a free throw line. But the St. Pete team, one thing they have no fear. And it's not that they're playing with house money. They have no fear. Like city guards, man. Hey, Jay Will, city guards, are they afraid of anything?
No, and they're raking down on everything, Seth.
Coach, you, yeah. when you just said that, what I thought before you said it, as soon as you said if they were playing at the Rucker or West 4th, but basketball is basketball. Like, if you can do that at the Rucker or West 4th, even if the odds are against you, like you said, if they played how many times, yeah, they St. Pete would lose most of them, but not all of them. And yeah. all you got to do is be on that night.
Yeah, but they're going against the top three draft pick in Jaden Ivey, and those bigs are their front line is bigger than some NBA front lines.
Yeah.
They shoot it, Jay. I mean, they shoot 39% from the three-point line. And then Ivy can take the game. Like, Ivy can take the game over. I don't think, and then this is me, Kentucky didn't have one guard that could take the game over. Jaden Ivy could take the game over. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you double Trayvon Williams, he's dropping dimes like magic. I mean, he's throwing it all. I mean, he's making the right play. The one thing is Purdue, they don't always guard, but I don't think Purdue's going to get stretched out. I think Purdue's going to plant their heels right on the three-point line, and they're going to keep everything in front of them. And they're going to try to force them to shoot contested shots. They're not going to get stretched out. Like, Kentucky got stretched out a little bit. They tried to pressure them and speed them up. I think Purdue's so confident offensively that they're not worried about having to turn them over. They're going to be like, I'm going to keep this thing in front. You're going to shoot a contested shot. We're going to rebound it. We're going to come down the other end. We're going to be efficient offensively, and we're going to make shots.
Seth Greenberg mentioned those Wendy Wooden Award finalists. The college basketball season is winding down, and that means we must turn our attention to Wendy's Wooden Watch. Go to ESPN.com, search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award nominees to watch as this season rolls on. Brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast, the official breakfast of March Madness. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, SG.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games.
Can Tua Tagovailoa deliver a Super Bowl in Miami?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Diana Russini rejoins our show now. And we're going to play some real or not real, as you can hear. Let's be very clear about what we're doing. Real or not real that a certain quarterback can lead his team to a Super Bowl. Not just be on the team and they win a Super Bowl, but lead the team to a Super Bowl. Evan, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, let's start with the guy who's under the most pressure now in Miami, and Tua Tagovailoa. Diana, can Tua lead the Dolphins to the Super Bowl? Real or not real?
Not real. My reason is I think what that offense is going to need from him now that they have a player of the caliber of Tyreek Hill, what we saw him do in Kansas City, a little bit of that backyard football, what he had with Patrick Mahomes, those kind of moments are what Tyreek Hill's going to need and want, and that is just not what Tua does. Tua is a dink and donk, short pass type of quarterback, and unless he can figure out a way to really open up his game, I don't think we're going to see an explosive offense, despite the fact that you have the two fastest receivers in the game. They're going to have to make an adjustment. And in my belief, I actually think we're going to see Teddy Bridgewater a lot sooner than you'd think.
Not real. I'm backing up Diana here. You think about Tua. You think about the toys and Cedric Wilson. They added now. They also added Tyreek Hill. High-octane, explosive personnel with a quarterback that has a water gun for an arm.
Not real for now. I have not given up on Tua. I want to see what happens. There are best case scenarios where this dude, you know, who's very, very accurate and getting more accurate,
yes,
gets better and then can become that guy, but not for this year. No, for sure not.
All right, Diana. Derek Carr, he now got Davante Adams. Can Derek Carr lead the Raiders to the Super Bowl? Real or not real?
Real. I think Derek Carr now having Davante Adams is going to be a significant jump. And look, we can talk about their friendship and what they did when they were in college and all that stuff. He's great. But I think with Josh McDaniels now taking over, and I normally doubt a first-year head coach, but Josh has had experience before this. He's not going to be overwhelmed by all the change, maybe overwhelmed by this type of ownership who you know is really hands-on. But I think Derek Carr, with what he was able to do in last year with his tight end, and now with Davante, I think this is actually the season I have the most confidence in Derek Carr.
This is real. No question about it. I've been on the Carr train for quite some time. When everybody looked at me and thought I was crazy, including the guy you're sitting next to in Max Kellerman, you mentioned Davante Adams. This is the first big-time receiver that Derek Carr has had outside of Amari Cooper. Waller's a tight end for him. Hunter Renfro's a slot receiver. You pair those guys with Jacobs in the backfield, this offense and a retooled defense going to make a run. AFC.
Yeah, I got no problem admitting when I'm wrong. I was wrong about Derek Carr. At one point, I thought he quit on the team, said it, and he said he wanted to fight me in the octagon. Are you crazy? But Derek Carr showed incredible leadership qualities this year. So when you say lead a team to the Super Bowl, he can do that. And by the way, Chandler Jones on the defense now with Crosby. Guys and gals, all I can tell you is this dude, if you have Derek Carr at quarterback, you're not looking. You're done. You have your quarterback. He can do it.
Diana is president of the Ryan Tannehill fan club. Real or not real that Ryan Tannehill can lead him to the Super Bowl?
Not real, because I think that the rest of the team can lead them to the Super Bowl. Look, Ryan Tannehill's the last image that we have of him is in Nashville throwing those three interceptions, and he lost the season for the Tennessee Titans. I am not making an excuse because that was on him. That was some really bad decision making, and you got to hope in this offseason he's working hard to make some of those corrections and get better with his decision making. I still think the Tennessee Titans, no matter what, have a clear identity. They know who they are. They have a much improved defense. They've got Derrick Henry, and they have A.J. Brown. But I do think Ryan Tannehill is going to once again be the reason why they can't get to the Super Bowl.
Not real, but he can be one of the 53 on the plane from Tennessee to Arizona for the Super Bowl. They're going to get there. It's going to be because of a retool defense, or because of a head coach, and because of Derrick Henry and that running attack. Nothing against Ryan Tannehill. It's just that he's not a guy who can lead a team, but he certainly could be on the bus from the hotel headed to the stadium.
And here we have the line. I love these kind of distinctions. To me, Derek Carr is on one side of the line and Tannehill is on the other, even though I think they have comparable value. But Carr, to me, has a little more, because I believe exactly what Key just said. I think Carr can lead you to a Super Bowl. I think with Tannehill, if I have Tannehill as my quarterback, I'm looking. If I have Carr, I'm done looking.
Here's the one thing that I didn't give him enough credit for. He is one of the toughest quarterbacks in terms
of
getting hit. That is the one thing. They don't like to give a lot of compliments down there in Nashville in terms of praising their players because they run a tough ship there. That is the one thing that always comes out of that locker room when I talk to players is you don't understand the type of hits he takes, and he just brushes it off and he stays in there and he's played
hurt. They should play him at tight end. I mean, you know, like
a wide receiver like he did in college.
Right, don't throw three picks when they need you
most.
If you're Tannehill, you just can't do that.
Brutal. That's why John Robinson was crying.
Real or not real, Lamar Jackson can lead the Ravens to the Super Bowl, Diana.
Real. Real. I think hopefully he'll get this contract situation figured out. I love what they've done on defense. I think this is the time for Lamar Jackson to take that step forward and win deep in the playoffs, and I believe he can do it.
I think he can, too. No question about it. I believe 100%. I want to see what they do in the draft. With that being said, let me ask you this one really quick, Diane. What is holding him back from this contract extension?
I think there's a money situation, obviously, right, of how much they want to pay. I've heard some early numbers, 200 over five. And Key, there's definitely an element here. You have a running quarterback. To make an investment in someone that could be prone to injury eventually in the future is risky. And you're seeing the prices of the quarterbacks right now getting paid, and you see how much they are. I just don't think Baltimore wants to go that far, knowing that could be a big risk, you know, okay?
Not only do I think it's real that he can lead them to a Super Bowl, they might be my sleeper pick this year.
Yeah.
I saw Lamar Jackson carry a team in tatters last year, where on three separate weeks, I said, that's the best football player on the planet Earth. He could do it right now.
Russell Wilson, he's on a new team with the Broncos. Can he lead his new team to the Super Bowl, Diana? Real or not real?
Not real. Not just yet. You all fall in love in March. And look, they are significantly better with Russell Wilson. Now, I am not questioning that at all. I still think there's part of this Broncos offense that needs to get better, their offensive line. And I'm always going to be a little skeptical of a first-year head coach. I know it's a boring answer, but it's the truth. It takes a bit to just get up to speed with how to run a team when you haven't done it before, and you've got a brand-new quarterback who's so used to doing it the way Pete did it in Seattle. There's going to be a lot of change and adjustment, and it will be remarkable if this does work out.
No. No. He can't lead the Denver Broncos to the Super Bowl. In fact, did he lead the Seattle Seahawks to the Super Bowl both times they appeared in it, one winning and one losing? And Richard Sherman certainly said no, so I'm saying no.
I'd say yes. I think he can do it. I wouldn't take him to do it. I would say the odds are against it, right? But I wouldn't think it's impossible. I've seen Russell Wilson have some very good stretches in the NFL where he really showed out. I think he could do it.
Last one, Matt Ryan led one team to the Super Bowl. Can he lead his current team to the Super Bowl, Diana, and the Colts, real or not real?
I think he can lead them to the Super Bowl because I like the pieces around Matt Ryan. If they can protect him in the middle, right, because a lot of the issues you saw, Keith, you remember for the Falcons, he was getting hit really early in the games, and he got a little skittish. I think that was like his biggest issue last year. And with this Colts offensive line, and look, it's not the same offensive line that we saw 2-3 years ago, which was phenomenal, but they're good. And that run game that they have, Jonathan Taylor is the best running back, maybe neck and neck with Derrick Henry. I think they've got the right elements around him, and I think they know what they want to do with him. They loved Phillip Rivers for a lot of different reasons. We know the Carson Wentz situation didn't work out. I think this is the best fit for Indy. It's why they did what they did to make this work, and I think this is Matt Ryan's shot.
This is Matt Ryan's shot, and I believe he can lead them to the Super Bowl. I'd like to see what they do in the draft in terms of picking up another receiver to pair with Michael Pittman Jr. We already know what Jonathan Taylor is. We know what the offensive line and the defense is. Frank Reich is a pretty good coach. He has another coach now in Matt Ryan as the quarterback. He can certainly lead them to the Super Bowl.
Agreed, and it's so interesting when you say, like, lead, Evan, because Diana's first thing is he has to have a lot around him. So that makes you think, oh, so he's one of these guys who ain't going to lead him to the Super Bowl. He's going to kind of ride the team to the Super Bowl, except that he will also lead. So, like, he does need a lot around him, and he is the type to lead them with his experience, with his intelligence, but he needs that protection.
That leadership, though, that Matt Ryan brings, let's not understate that. That's the one thing everyone shares with me around the league about what he can do. And most players are walking into that Colts locker room knowing that they need to respect that guy. That is QB1.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Thank you, Diana. NFL breaking moves continues to dominate March. Plus, we're back in 2 minutes with the all-time wrong team guys. We'll explain next. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Wrong team guy. So what do we mean by that? Well, with all the trades in the NFL, including quarterbacks, it got us to thinking, who are the guys who just like ended their careers and in jerseys where you're like, come on, man, that ain't right. Like, Key, I had to look up Patrick Ewing because I remember the trade to the Supersonics back then, Seattle. But it wasn't even that. He had number 6 in Orlando. Come on, Pat, that ain't right. That's wrong. Who's your all-time? That's the wrong dude in the wrong jersey at the end.
Man, it, you know.
Other than Keyshawn Johnson on the Panthers, by the way. wrong jersey.
I still was decent. I was okay.
But it wasn't the right jersey for you, Key. That was, you're not a Panther.
Nah, I was more of a Jet, Buccaneer, right. Cowboy type guy. No, I get it. I would say Shaq in Boston.
Oh, that's the worst.
Shaq in Boston.
That's got to take the cake. A Lakers icon in a Celtics uniform at the end.
I don't know what it was. I guess Shaq just didn't want to be at home or something because ain't no way in the world he should have been doing that.
I mean, MJ in the Wizards is bad, but
MJ in the Wizards was gross.
Yeah, it's not like, though, like MJ in some, like in a Suns jersey, like a rival in a Jazz jersey. That would have been worse somehow, but Shaq in a Celtics
jersey.
Dream
in Toronto?
That was just, yeah, that's just like, eh, nope.
Yeah, Dream in Toronto didn't look right.
Peyton on the Broncos is he won a Super Bowl, so then it's.
Yeah, it didn't look right, though.
No, it didn't.
It didn't look right.
Where did Emmitt wind up?
Arizona Cardinals. Come on, man. He was a shell of himself.
Come on.
In fact, I think I played against him. I feel like I played against him in the Dallas game, and he hurt his shoulder. I feel that way. Montana didn't look right in KC, even though he was sweet.
I got to tell you, when a guy has success in the new uniform, it changes it for me. If you go to a championship game, if you win a title, like Peyton, Brady, Montana, I hear you, but it's not like when Patrick Ewing is in a Magic uniform.
Winning certainly changes.
The cologne.
Yeah, it, Brett Favre in a Jets uniform just didn't look right.
Yeah.
Even though it was green.
Yeah, Favre and the Jets wasn't great. They were pretty good with them, but, yeah, not great.
Favre in Minnesota didn't look right.
I'm trying to think of other.
Warren Sapp with the Raiders.
Yeah, weird.
So weird.
That was just weird. I'm trying to think in baseball if there's one that jumps out, but.
Eddie Murray with us in the Dodgers.
Yeah, Willie Mays with the Mets.
Willie Mays with the Mets, no good. Eddie Murray was raking with the Dodgers. Like, he hit 330 for y'all one year.
But it didn't look right.
It didn't. He was an Oriole.
I know him as a Baltimore Oriole.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are down to choose your own adventure. This is how we end the show. You get to produce this segment. Evan, do we have numbers on how the people voted? Because, by the way, this time of year, Sweet 16 tonight, Duke's in it. You got baseball gearing up after you almost didn't have a season. Opening day's on the way. You have NBA playoffs coming. Just take a. Then you have NFL breaking news, and we're in March, and it's dominating. So we have our all-time wrong team guys. 25% said we should talk about that. Key and I just did for a little bit. Shaq on a Celtics uniform, Patrick Ewing in a Magic uniform at the end of his career. Jay's Sweet 16 picks, almost 24%. One of your Sweet 16 picks, Jay, which beating the Heat's dinner plans, right? Spoelstra said they were making dinner plans when Haslam and him and Jimmy Butler getting into it, and Kyle Lowry ducked out.
Where are they, Ian Key? The Fountain Blue? We're 19%. Talking prime? What are we talking about? I'm curious where the dinner plans had them going in Miami.
If they was arguing like that over dinner, I don't want to be there.
Yeah. NFL breaking news is the winner, 32.2% of the vote. So we're going to talk about NFL
Shocking.
Breaking news. That this offseason has been quarterbacks at their peak, moving from team to team. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, wideouts, Devontae Adams. And now, Key, the latest, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill show in KC's over. He's took his talents to Miami, to South Beach.
Man, I know he lives in the Florida area in the offseason, but it's got to be refreshing for him to know that he's in a no-tax state. He gets to wake up in his bed and drive in to work. Oh, man, it's just – it's got to be the best feeling ever. Great weather. He don't have to worry about that cold Kansas City weather. The off-season breaking news, like I tell people all the time, the NFL is 365 days a year now.
Yep, it is.
I love when we get into it, you understand how the sausage is made, right? Like on the basketball side, I'm like, all right, Rich Paul, that relationship with Clutch Sports and the Los Angeles Lakers and – how it's not working out this year to a degree, and everybody's, too much power for Rich Paul. And I'm like, all right. Then I see Tyreek Hill. I'm like, oh, Drew Rosenhaus down in Miami. How much access does he have? There's people that have came in that haven't been his clients that he has have become clients. And Tyreek Hill coming down there out with Tua and the left tackle Armstead, all the pieces that they have. Is it enough in the AFC, though, to get to the playoffs?
Not if you don't have the right quarterback.
Yeah,
Drew Rosenhaus.
You know, if you got a client, you're in the sports business, and you got a client going to the Miami Dolphins, you better make sure that he has an understanding and a wide net around him, because he gonna come and he gonna come try to steal him. Ain't no question about it. The great thing about Rich Paul though is he brought LA a championship.
Yep.
Drew Rosenhaus ain't brought no Miami Dolphins no championship, and he stayed getting big contracts for his players down there.
They couldn't even get the coach they wanted in the Lakers. I was thinking at the time, Genie, this is easy, man. They want to give you the best coach available. Yeah.
Ty Lue.
Yeah, and Ty Lue.
Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really all this puts a lot of pressure on Tua Tagovailoa, who is an accurate quarterback without a big arm, lots of dink and dunking. I think he's been, 13-8 as a starter coming off a catastrophic injury for a team without a lot of name brand players, right? On the other hand, look, coach ain't there anymore. Brian Flores was coaching up that no-name defense, and they were getting after it, and now he's gone. So Tua has all these weapons, but as Key said, they're not perfect. He didn't just go get a big receiver to go with a speed guy. He's got multiple speed guys. And if it doesn't work out, is Bridgewater the guy? Or might someone like, I don't know, Jimmy G be available if Trey Lance takes the reins?
Why do you keep floating Jimmy G's name around, man?
Because he's good.
It's parallel. It's not
Mike McDaniel. They got the coach there, the whole thing. It's parallel?
Yeah.
How many NFC championship games has this dude been to?
But you act like he's the – so you're telling me Jimmy G's the main reason why they made it to the NFC Championship?
Yeah, he's a reason.
Stop. He's a reason,
he's
Jay.
Thank you, Key.
But look, man, Jimmy G is good. Let's stop acting like he's just a hot garbage. He's not. He's good. He is better than Tua. If he is healthy, that is a good upgrade for them if they want to try to make some noise.
Key, I'm not saying that Jimmy G isn't good. But if you were to take me through some of the names of the top quarterbacks in this division, he's still around 7 or 8.
Then how come
and that's
able
okay.
to get by Aaron Rodgers?
If you 7 or 8, that's great. What was Joe Burrow before the season started last year?
I understand, but Max, you got to stop acting like this is just straight quarterback-to-quarterback matchup.
No,
like,
but Packers had a comparable.
No, but you got to have.
I know, but
you got to have.
Using the Aaron Rodgers argument, like, well, look, he got by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay,
my point
is,
if you have a good team, like the Packers and the Niners are similarly placed teams. If you took out the quarterbacks,
yeah, I don't care about the Jimmy G because Jimmy G didn't do jack in that Green Bay game. That was special teams. I'm just talking about.
Come on, Max, stop.
I'm just talking about his presence. For some reason, good things always happen to him.
That's the Parcells.
That's a plus for me.
Okay, that's the Parcells. Good things happen for him.
I can ride with that to a degree.
Point, that's not a coincidence, Jay. It's not just luck that good things happen for him. He's making his luck.
I said, do you guys think that good things will happen in this loaded conference now? With he doesn't.
But is the conference really loaded, man? Or are we just putting a lot on it?
Key. What do you? I think the AFC is way better than the NFC.
Because the NFC really. The NFC really hasn't changed like that. I think we're putting a lot on it. Russell Wilson left, and Seattle wasn't good last year either. So but it, I wasn't, mean, like, if it wasn't like we lost something when we lost Seattle.
Depth-wise, Key, who has more depth? What conference has more star power to it? Depth and star power.
Got to be the AFC.
I would say the AFC.
AFC.
But that doesn't make them better.
How do you define better?
Well, NFC won the Super Bowl. Right?
So at the high end, I would say they're similar, right?
Maybe, yes, that's all that matters.
At the high end, you got the Bucks, the Packers, you got the Rams, you got San Francisco, can't count
Arizona.
Them out. And Dallas.
New Orleans, Dallas.
New Orleans,
but as you get deeper down,
New
like
Orleans
the whole
was
5-2, AFC West.
Jay, before Jameis got hurt, they were 5-2.
You got two divisions in the AFC where 1 through 4, you're like, that's tough. West and North. Right?
Without so
Mike, teams right there.
Who's one through four in AFC?
Chiefs. Oh, I don't know. Like after that,
that's
it's impossible.
My point. You know who 1 through 4
Bengals,
is.
Bengals, Bills.
You're really trying to figure it out.
Chargers might jump up. Oof.
Oof. That's my point.
It's a load, boy.
Like you're looking.
Hey, Max.
Yo.
Look on the floor.
See, he got you now with that tone.
You look on the floor.
Look on the
floor. There's Joe Burrow running by. Get him. Here, Max.
That's right. Ride with Joe Burrow. And Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, a lot of AFC quarterbacks. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.